Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Mr. Robin de Crittenden, and he's calling us from Great Britain. And of course, he works very closely with our good friend, Mr. Robert Theobald, who has arranged a number of interviews for us with prominent British citizens who are concerned about the course that Great Britain is following today. And, of course, Great Britain and the United States have a common heritage. We're certainly both a product of Western civilization, these ideas of freedom and government and a parliamentary government and representative government. But as we've known it, this is about to disappear. Most people really don't understand what's going on. So with that as a background, Mr. de Crittenden, thank you so very much for being with us.
Great pleasure, Dr. Stan. And thank you for your time.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm now 67 years of age, and of course, like most people, I've neglected interest in my own country for far too long. Now that I've reached retirement age, I find I'm looking at things, and I'm not at all pleased with what I'm seeing. I'm sure you'll agree with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great pity that we don't wake up to our heritage much before our retirement age. We should be doing it every day, shouldn't we?
Right. Well, that's why the other side is totally dedicated to changing the world. Our job is, of course, to do what we can to try to get the people of Great Britain and the United States to understand the implications of what's happening. So why don't you pick up the story from there?
Yes, I will. Let me just quickly start off by saying that your constitution over there is largely based upon the constitution that we had back in the days when you declared independence.
Amen.
And there was a complete division of authority. We had our king or our queen, and we had our judges, and we had our parliament. And those three powers were intended to act separately, but together, if you understand me. They were intended to be performing separate interests, separate responsibilities. And if I could draw the sort of comparison with the United States, I would like you to imagine that your House of Representatives has suddenly interfered with the Senate and has suddenly locked up the President and decided he can only come out when they want him to sign something. And that is exactly what's happened here. We have a Queen without authority. She's reduced to cutting ribbons and, you know, cutting cakes and that sort of wonderful stuff, but she's taken away from the job she's there to do. We have a House of Lords that's been emasculated. And so we've got professional politicians, the people who have very rarely done an ordinary day's work, sitting in a very elite club, deciding what the rest of us should do, and ignoring the provisions of our Constitution. Simply ignoring them.
Isn't it really more or less that rather than being representative of the people, they represent the power of the structure of the individual parties, and you have a system really that is ruled from the top down rather than from the bottom up?
Quite so. In other words, our House of Commons has been removed from its function of representing the people who live in the country.
All right, fine.
We have to stop that somehow.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to actually have some of our stations leave us, and then we'll bring another station back on. So we'll maybe just repeat a little of what we've said here as the new stations join us.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind this story. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. De Crittenden, and he's calling us from Great Britain. And, of course, he's expressing his concern about what's happening in England, but in some respects we're having many of the same ideas, same things happening in here. But he's pointing out that there they have the tradition, they have the Queen, they have, of course, a bicameral legislature, a House of Lords, a House of Commons, and then a judiciary. But what appears that really what is happening is everybody has lost their power except the House of Commons, and this is certainly has a different agenda than the agenda of the average individual, because the House of Commons is ruled from the top down rather than representing the people. There is an agenda, and that is, of course, to destroy the sovereignty of Great Britain and of course, take the country into this world, into the European Union. So why don't you pick up the story from there, sir?
Yes, well, of course, we're very fortunate, Dr. Stan, over here, in that we've got a long history, long and continuous history. As an island, we've had plenty of times of peace. And we've got various documents in existence, lawful documents, which regulate how our society is supposed to work. I mean, the most famous one that you'll know about, of course, is Magna Carta, where it was decided that people should have a trial by their peers, and their peers would decide if they were guilty or not. And this, of course, was a very useful mechanism. People could decide, sitting in their juries, that they didn't like the look of this law, and they could refuse to find people guilty of breaking it. Now, we've got an increasing ability by the House of Commons, taken upon itself, take away juries, we will decide what the law is, the police will prosecute, and we shall have a lovely time collecting the fines. This is not as our country is meant to be ruled. We are now without representation for all practical purposes in every constituency. It's controlled by one party or another, and they all do just as they like, irrespective of our laws. We have to do something about that.
Well, of course, isn't part of this as well the fact that really, I mean, you have a choice between your conservative or liberals. What is it, conservative liberals, and what's the third party?
Well, the governing party currently is called the Labour Party.
Right.
And the conservatives are the principal opposition, and the liberals are a second opposition, a minor party.
All right, so, but aren't they all sort of heading the same direction?
Of course they are. Because they're all made up of politicians. And I have to say, not only politicians, large chunks of them are professional lawyers who love the idea of making laws so that they can actually collect the money that goes with breaking them.
Hold that thought there for just a moment as we bring our other stations on board. Well, Dr. Stan, and our guest is Mr. De Crittenden calling from Great Britain, and really expressing his concern. And of course, today they have the Labour Party, they have the Conservative Party, and they have the Liberal Party. The Labour and Conservative are the two major parties, and the Liberals are a fairly small party. And of course, the problem is that none of them really are abiding by the laws. They seem to want to be a law unto themselves. And Mr. De Crittenden is saying that the problem is that so many of them are lawyers who seem to be more interested in making laws than obeying the laws and the traditions of Great Britain would have been there since 1215 and the signing of the Magna Carta. So pick up the story there, sir.
Okay. I've been lucky. I've been able to look through some of the countries of the former Soviet bloc, and I've seen the darkness that is caused by what happened to be a left-wing dictatorial system. And I see that same darkness creeping over my own country. I object to it very much. There has to be a representation of the people that is meaningful. Somebody who lives amongst the community should be speaking for that community and not for the political parties at all.
But how can this be accomplished? Because certainly in your country, as in ours, you know, we go to the polls, we vote for the candidates that other people have picked for us, and usually when that candidate is elected, if it really doesn't make a dollar's worth of difference.
Absolutely right. Well, you're having exactly the same problems. We are faced, I think, we're at a very much a crossroads. In my view, it's coming to the point here where only civil disobedience will create the sort of atmosphere that we need. Because if we don't do something, this country's going to die by default.
Well, I share your concern, but of course today they will tell you, I'm sure, in Great Britain, as they do here, oh, we can't have that sort of thing. We're involved. We're at war. You know, we're involved with this war on terrorism. And yeah. Anybody, of course, who objects to what's going on is acquainted with a terrorist.
Quite. I understand it exactly. Over here, they've just passed what they call the Anti-Terrorist Act, and it's removed the right of trial by jury. They're saying, in effect, we've got secret people who tell us what these people are up to, and we can't let the jury know. We can only discuss that quietly with the judge, who happens to be our man. And the judge will decide whether or not this guy should be locked up for an offence that nobody knows about.
Well, now, is this supposedly for terrorism? Or
yes.
This is not for all laws. This is just so-called under the guise of terrorism. But then, of course, they can redefine terrorism to be anybody who disagrees with the government.
Quite so. And if you only have to look at the history of Nazi Germany to find that Hitler, when he first came to power, he wasn't making use of laws that he passed. He was making use of laws passed before he came to power to lock up his opposition. And the idiots that we've got over here don't actually understand that if they start passing laws like this, they'll be the first people to get shot.
Well, of course, we've had the same thing over here. I mean, under the name of terrorism, and of course, they've arrested at least one American citizen. They've refused to bring him to trial. They've got all the information, but they can't bring it out in an open court because they're afraid Osama bin Laden is going to find out what the evidence is that we have. And so this poor guy, I don't know anything about him. Maybe he's guilty of sin. Fine, bring him before the bar of justice. So are they using the same thing, the same rationale over there? Because, of course, if we're willing to stand by as they take away the freedom of one American, then no American's freedom is safe. And the same thing is true in your country.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I have to say to you, Dr. Stan, having seen the darkness across Eastern Europe, these people need the light of our democracies to have a light to shine in their own lives. If we allow our democracies to die at the hands of what amounts to professional thieves and liars, we've got a lot to answer for, a great deal to answer for.
But of course, nothing will change until the people care. And is there enough awareness on the part of the people? I mean, do they honestly believe that we are so threatened by Osama bin Laden living in a cave someplace over in Pakistan that we've got to give up all of our freedom?
Well, they seem to allow it, don't they? And this is what's wrong. Our people over here only wake up when their own particular individual sanctity is threatened.
We say when they're off the score.
They don't rally to each other.
Right.
They seem incapable of understanding that we've got a wonderful country here that must be preserved as a wonderful country for everybody else, as well as for ourselves. You're in the same boat in America.
Amen.
You've got a wonderful country, based on wonderful traditions. And you have to fight to preserve it. I was going to just say, we've got too lazy about this political business. We're allowing people who tell lies on a daily basis to stand up and claim that they're speaking for us.
Well, it really is such a tragedy. And, of course, I'm sure our people must understand that politicians lie. That is the very essence of being a politician, is to be able to talk out of both sides of your mouth so that you please everybody, but never tell the truth. And, of course, here in this country, we have all of this, we've got to keep this secret. We can't let the American people know why we've got a continuing investigation. We have something happened back in April 19th. 1995 when one of our buildings got blown up in Oklahoma City, and the government to this date will not release the video cameras, even though they've told us all the people involved are in prison, because they have a continuing investigation. So we can't let the American people show the video cameras, which would certainly let us know what really happened. So,
I know.
Do they do this sort of thing over in Great Britain and say, we can't let you know because we have a continuing investigation?
They did it all over Iraq, which, of course, is a very sore subject with a lot of people. It is said that our Attorney General, who is our senior legal officer, a member of the government, gave an opinion which said that the invasion of Iraq was lawful. Members of our Parliament, members of the House of Commons, have been asking to see a copy of this guy's professional opinion. They won't release it. It's unbelievable nonsense. Absolutely unbelievable. And we're allowing it to happen.
Well, I think that, of course, didn't Tony Blair actually say that the reason Great Britain went to war was because Saddam Hussein had these weapons of mass destruction that threatened the peace of the world and
within 30 to 45 minutes, he said. And these people went along with it purely because he was the leader of their party. Not enough of them asked questions.
Well, what about the Conservatives? What did they do?
The Conservative Party went along with it.
And what about the Liberal Party?
Liberal Party voted absolutely against it. But it's still a minority party. And as a consequence, you see, over here, they are now saying at this time of general election that Blair has a lack of credibility. But he's still got this big, broad, oafy smile all over our television cameras. And nobody bothers to say, what are you smiling about? You're a liar.
Well, isn't there going to be an election coming up soon?
May the 5th. May the 5th is our election. I am fully expecting this oaf to get back in again. Now, this is a man who is a professional sabotage merchant in terms of our constitution.
But, of course, don't the British people understand that he lied to them? He had to know what he was doing. He used the pretext of the weapons of mass destruction to plunge England into a war that they have nothing to gain from. And of course, the only thing that, you know, with the old saying, this is sort of war where you measure the profits in dollars and the losses in human lives.
That's right. And people have died because these people have their broad smiles and their lying tongues. And it's not good enough. It's just simply not good enough.
Well, why would the British people vote for Tony Blair? Is it because the economy is good? Because life is good in Great Britain? Don't they understand that if you don't have a man who's principled...
Our people are nowhere near as concerned about their constitution as the Americans, in my experience. I've got some wonderful friends over there, and I've had lots of discussions with them. And they're involved with the political situation. They actually care what goes on locally and nationally.
Well,
over here, they don't care unless it's knocking on their personal door.
Well, of course, fortunately, we do still have the alternative radio. And the people who listen to my programs, whether it be shortwave or internet or stations out across America, they know there's a problem. Of course, we have the problem. We have to reach the rest of the people and let them understand.
Okay, you have over there what I think we can both describe as the Bill of Rights.
Right.
It's the first ten chapters, is it, of your...
Ten amendments to the Constitution.
Ten amendments, yeah.
Right.
You call that the Bill of Rights.
Right.
We have a document which is dated 1688, which is our Bill of Rights, and it's described as the Bill of Rights. And it provides that the power, that is to say the king, cannot proceed against anybody without the involvement of a court of law. So when they pass things like the Terrorism Act, they're breaching the very document which gives them their authority to be lawful at all, themselves. Our Parliament, you see, is summoned by the writ of the sovereign. And the sovereign, to be a lawful sovereign, has to maintain the contract that is contained within our Bill of Rights. She has to do that. That's the lawful requirement placed upon her. If she fails to do that, she ceases to be queen, effectively. Therefore, any parliament summoned by her is without power to legislate.
But, of course, does the average Englishman really understand your constitution? Do they really understand how these concepts of where your freedom comes from?
I have spoken to a man who was a parliamentary aide to, in the private sector, to a cabinet minister, who didn't even know that our Bill of Rights existed. Now, I'm confident the same will be true over there. At certain levels, there will be documentation within the makeup of your constitution that people don't know about and don't understand.
Well, I'm sure that most of the people in Washington do not understand that the miracle of our constitution was not only the checks and balances between the three branches of government, but the checks and balances between the central government and the individual states, and the fact that the Bill of Rights is to limit the power of the central government, and
of
all powers not specifically given to the central government in the constitution are to be reserved to the states and the people. That was the miracle of our constitution, why we were different. But I share your concern that not enough people know the message.
Our miracle came about over here.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Don't worry.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. De Crichton. And, of course, if you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. Set G
side, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, we're Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. De Crittenden, and of course we're calling from Great Britain, talking about the problem that they have in Great Britain, where the average individual over there could not imagine what it would be like to lose their freedom. And yet, of course, step by step, because of the corruption of the legislative system, and because the average Englishman does not understand the very essence of their constitution, or understand that once their constitution has been eroded, then they will have no more rights than the people did in Hitler's Germany, or Benito Mussolini's Italy, or Stalin's Russia. People don't understand that freedom is lost when people are not involved in the legislative process. Would that be a fair statement?
Very fair indeed. Well, very fair.
How can we help you? Reach the people of Great Britain. It would appear that, you know, as long as things are good, the economy seems to be moving along, and the welfare state is providing that, safety net, that most people really aren't that concerned. They'd rather be down at the pub or watching rugby rather than, like we, of course, here we have our football, and of course you have your rugby.
Quite so, and our cricket, and our tennis, right. And all the other wonderful things. But you see, these people who are not taking an interest in their own futures are losing their inheritance. They're losing everything that's important about the country they live in. And they're losing it forever, for the children, for their children's children, and so on. It can never be recovered once it's been lost. And our problem is to bring that light of knowledge into their minds now, before it's too late. I mean, when we are faced here with a Prime Minister who blatantly lies and does it on almost a daily basis, and the people still don't care enough to, as it were, surround Downing Street and demand his execution, for lack of a better expression, or at least demand his resignation, they just shrug their shoulders and say, well, all politicians tell lies, why do we bother about it? And Stan, we've got to answer. We've got to bother about it, haven't we?
We absolutely
do. We have got to bother about it. I've looked at the thousands of people in, millions of people in the African countries who are being abused by their dictatorial people. I've looked at Eastern Europe and Asia. And the savagery that they have suffered because they haven't had the opportunity that we've been given in the West. It's appalling. It isn't to do with food in the stomach. It's, you know, using a very old-fashioned, it's the life of God himself is being lost.
Well, I think that the thing is really that, the most precious thing we have is not our material possessions, but it is our freedom. And I can remember a woman who had lived in Eastern Europe coming to America, and she said, I would rather live with a crust of bread and be free than have all the affluence in the world.
Absolutely right, and that's the thing, that's the value that's got to be brought back into people's lives. There are people who are trying to fight side issues, you know, the issues that matter to them, and they're fighting against the government. You had one of them on, I think, a little while back, a chap called Neil Herron.
Right.
He's a great fighter. He knows what he's talking about, and he wants to see this country free. There are people like that. But unfortunately, there are far too many other people who are far too lazy and don't get themselves involved. They're frightened, you see, they're going to be labelled as something if they actually stand up for themselves. So they'd much rather pay the fine and skulk away, back down to the pub, as you put it, than actually stand up for themselves. It's very, very dark over here, Dr. Stan, I can tell you. Very dark.
Well, let's go to Roger, who's calling us from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, and speaking of illuminating the darkness, I was very much interested in the media environment there. Now, you don't have the luxury of our talk radio, I take it, like we have it here, albeit other than like Dr. Stan here and maybe a handful, maybe 100, 200 mom-and-pop radio stations. The talk radio is basically all screened and triple-filtered.
Well, now, let's get the question. What do you have in the way of talk radio there in Great Britain? What do you have to reach the people with the truth?
Yeah, we don't have enough. We've got a series of local radio stations, as they are described, which are largely part of the BBC network, if I may say. And, of course, they're very, very sort of cautious in what they discuss, in what they allow to be discussed. You get some angry commentators who get a few remarks in now and again, but not enough to cause a difference. Not enough to cause the groundswell.
And, of course, you have to be able to reach the people. Thanks very much for calling, Roger. We're going to have to go to a break here. But, you have to be able to reach the people. They have to know there's a problem. The old adage, you can't sell life insurance till you can convince people they're going to die. You can't get people involved in the battle to preserve freedom unless they know that they're about to lose it. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Mr. De Crittenden, and, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America. And the major thing is, how can, Mr. Crittenden, how can we here in America get people concerned enough to be able to, willing to take a stand for the preservation of liberty?
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. And we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest today, Mr. Dick Crittenden. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is calling from Great Britain, expressing his concern about what's happening in England as today, why, of course, under the name of fighting terrorism, they've established laws where anybody who's accused of being a terrorist can be arrested and held without the right of habeas corpus, which was the tradition of Great Britain and carried over into this country, without being brought to trial. Oh, we can't bring out the facts. Some of them Laden might find out what the information we have on whoever this individual is. And, of course, this is exactly what is being done here in America. And, of course, anybody, if you've read the Patriot Act, anybody in the United States is today a potential terrorist, and I suspect they've written similar laws in England. In fact, they're writing them in all countries, and they are using the threat of terrorism to destroy the foundation of law, which was the tradition of America and the tradition of Great Britain. So let's see if we have... Roger, do you have something else you want to say?
Well, Dr. Stan, the question was put to me, what can we do about
right.
it? What can you people in America perhaps help to do? Well, I have to say this, it's very unfortunate, but really we've got to fight this evil where it starts, which is in the individual constituencies. We've got 659 members of our Parliament, our House of Commons, and each one of those seats is up for grabs. In a sense, I could say to you at this moment, our country, this country here is for sale, and I can give you the price. It's about $659 million. Because if I gave $1 million to each of the MPs, I could get what I wanted. That's the sadness to which we're reduced. If we can put money behind an exercise in each and every constituency to make the Member of Parliament for that constituency answerable to the people who elected him, and he's going to be given an awful lot of trouble if he doesn't answer back to his electorate, then I think we have a chance to save the situation. In every constituency, there is a local issue, something which concerns the people who live there, which is being neglected by the major parties. If we can get into that constituency with the people who care enough within that constituency, and give them the backing to set up the monitoring arrangements for their Member of Parliament, we can cause a change. That's what we have to do, in my opinion.
Well, now, how are you going to be able to get into it? I mean, because you need a very, very effective organization. You need certainly people who are knowledgeable, who know the issues. Yeah. And, of course, you need people in every constituency. Is there any such organization?
There is no such organization at this moment, but I believe such an organization can be brought into existence given enough funding. And funding has to be the key. Because people who care enough obviously have their wives and their children to support, they have their mortgages to pay for and their cars to pay for, and they have their living to maintain, and however much they may want to fight with all of their being, they're stuck financially. So my concept is really to raise enough funds to permit the bringing into existence of a local organisation in every constituency that is dedicated not to one party or another, dedicated to the interests of the people who live there, and to the purpose of making sure that the MP responds to those people and not to his party.
Well, how do you anticipate going around and putting, organizing such a party and such a movement?
Well, first of all, I've made a lot of connections within various organizations here, people who are, in general, prepared to support the general concept, given that I can, in one way or another, raise the funding. So I've got a marketing exercise which I want to take into America, which has the capability of raising about $100 million.
All right, fine. Well, how would that work?
Well, given that we can raise that kind of funding, then the operation can begin by beginning to create a unity amongst those organizations that already exist, that have a unity of purpose in that they know their MPs are not doing the job for which they're paid. And so there will be a scattering, a sprinkling across the United Kingdom, which can be brought together into a unified movement if we can fund it properly. That's what I'm aiming to try and achieve.
All right, fine. Well, now, do you have a website or some means by which people...
No. Actually, Robert Theobald said you might ask for that, but I can give you one which relates to an organization called British Weights and Measures.
All right, fine.
Let me give you that, can I?
Certainly you may.
It's www.bwma.
B-W-M-A?
M-A, yeah.
Right.
Then a capital O.
Mm-hmm.
And then go down to small case again. N-L-I-N-E. So it's bwmaonline.com.
And are those capital or not?
No, it's all small case except for that capital O I gave you.
Okay, fine.
It's all lowercase.
And that's .com. Now, does that have to do with anything, that grocer who committed that terrible crime of selling bananas by the pound rather than by the kilo?
Absolutely. And we actually proved in law that they were correct in our law. And the judge who was sitting on the, on the High Court, deciding whether or not they ought to be punished, made up new law to cover the issue.
But didn't he actually rely upon European Union law rather than on British law?
No, what he said was, you see, it's our tradition that if you pass an Act of Parliament over here, then that Act of Parliament impliedly repeals all previous acts of all previous parliaments. You see, it does it by implication. So the 1972 European Act should have been superseded by the British Weights and Measures Act of 1985. But it wasn't. The judge made up new law. It said, oh, no, no. You see, the first one was a constitutional law, and that cannot be overturned by any method of implied repeal. The new act must always state specifically that it has the intention of repealing the earlier act. Now, that means... I'm giving you an example which is strange, but rather interesting. That means that all of the legislation they brought out to control road traffic, parking, and all the rest of it, is all unlawful according to that ruling.
Well, could you explain to our listeners who really don't understand the background that there was a gentleman who was selling bananas by the pound rather than the kilo. Now, this was, of course, in violation of a European Union law. But subsequent to that, then, the Parliament passed another law which would have superseded that. Is that correct? Is this what
you're saying? Well, you see, the European legislation doesn't have any effect unless it gets the accession of our Parliament.
Right.
Our Parliament has to pass an act adopting the European legislation.
Right. Did the Parliament ever pass the act?
It did that in 1972 regarding the rules of the European Union.
All right.
Now, in 1985, which is 13 years later, our Parliament passed an act which said it was lawful to sell either in metric measurements or in imperial measurements. So the man who was selling his bananas by the pound was acting in a perfectly lawful manner by the details of the 1985 Act. But the judge who was called upon to rule on this eventually said, oh, no, we can't have any change to the 1972 Act because that was a constitutional instrument. And the 1985 Act didn't say it was an intention of the 1985 Act to appeal or repeal the original one of 72.
No, you can't get a trial by jury over there. You have to go to a judge.
No. Well, when you get to the appeal section, you're sitting only with judges. In the trial by jury situation, that is one of the points which is going on with our Parliament. They're taking away the right to trial by jury and imposing what they call summary jurisdiction.
Right. Well, of course, they do this here in many of our courts, in the name of family courts, things of that sort.
Yeah. It has to be stopped.
Right.
It has to be stopped. Because until we stop it with the jury deciding they don't like the look of this situation created by this so-called law, the people have no ability to take part in the lawmaking process at all. Now, you see, in our tradition over here, which is where your traditions come from, our juries could say, it might be your law, Your Majesty, but we don't like it, so we find this man not guilty, whether you like it or not.
And so then you get into all this administrative law, which we have so much in our communities, dealing with the Planning Commission, dealing with, of course, family courts, things of that sort, which is, of course, the means by which the fascist element of our society would rule us, and then, of course, they can run you in the poorhouse with all the administrative law before you can ever get to a trial by jury. Is that what you have there?
That's what's going on here. Okay. They're whittling away at our right to trial by jury. I mean, the latest attempt which is going on, they just had to acknowledge that they couldn't produce enough convincing evidence to a jury to proceed with a massive fraud trial. So instead of accepting that they had presented the case badly to a jury of relatively intelligent people, they decided, oh, these things are much too complicated for juries to understand, so we must rule to get rid of these juries in these cases.
And is there an outcry from the average British citizen?
No, there is no outcry. And I have to tell you, our judges are bought and sold in the process.
I'm afraid that we have the same problem, at least in certain circumstances here.
Yeah. The power of patronage, which was exercised by the British Crown, was wrong. It was far too weighted in favour of the favourites, if you understand me.
Right.
It's no better, it's not improved at all by Tony Blair exercising patronage with the judges. It's not improved at all. It's just the same old evil, just turned a different corner. We have to stop it. The rights of the people must remain paramount. And to get that point across, we can only do it by literally moving to unseat the House of Commons itself, if we have to, yes, by lawful means, yes, by electoral means, by bringing pressure on the MPs within their constituencies. If we don't do that, we're lost.
Well, I certainly agree with you. It's just a matter of getting enough Britishers to really care enough. And I suppose, you know, as more and more people die in this series of wars, because the war in the Middle East is going to continue and continue and continue.
Of course,
the destiny of your nation and our nation are interlocked. Or there's just no way we're going to be able to separate them. And I would not necessarily want to separate them. But we have, of course, to try to get people to understand that freedom is never free. And when the people are not involved, then it is lost. And there always have been people out there who want to take away our freedom. As someone once said, freedom never close thine eyes in slumber, for thine enemies never sleep. And believe me, the enemies are working, I'm sure, there in the House of Commons, just as they're working in Washington, D.C., in both our Congress and our Senate.
Sure. But if your senators and your congressmen were not permitted to rest easy in their beds unless they were listening to the voice of the people in their own home constituencies, you would see a change. I'm sure of it.
Well,
it only needs 2% of the population to cause this change.
Yeah. Well, I certainly agree with you. Of course, here in the United States, thanks to Senator John McCain and, of course, to the President, who signed legislation he said was he knew was unconstitutional, but he knew the Supreme Court would never declare it constitutional. And, by Jove, they did declare it constitutional. That is, we can't have organizations that are telling the constituencies, certain types of organizations, telling the constituencies how their congressman votes within 60 days of the election. Total violation of all of our laws, but that was what the Congress passed, and that, of course, what the President signed, saying, oh, well, I know the Supreme Court would never, of course, it could declare this constitutional. Why would he sign it if he knew that it was unconstitutional? We got a real problem. We both got real problems, unfortunately.
We have, but we have enough of us, I'm sure, across the face of our two countries that will cause this change. We just have to be dedicated enough to make sure that we get our points across at every opportunity.
Well,
stop the MPs feeling satisfied. Stop your congressmen feeling that they're happy to do their job when their constituents are unhappy.
Well, what is there anything we can do to help you and what your effort?
Well, this is
a big undertaking.
If you've got people over there who've got access to marketing facilities, I've got a marketing project which touches very much on the history of America itself, the foundation of New York as a British colony. It's as close to your home ground as that, and it's capable of raising the sort of money I need to free my country. So anybody you can find, Dr. Stan, I'd be so grateful to hear from them.
All right, fine. And, Chris, how would they reach you personally?
Well, I can give you a telephone number.
All right, fine. Might as well get it out.
Okay, it's the United Kingdom code, which I think is 44 in your land.
Right, right. Oh, you dial 011 and then 44.
Then 44. And then the number 1902. And then the number 417045.
So that is, the area code is the 44. That's the country code. 1902-417-045.
That's it. And that'll reach me almost any hour, day or night.
All right, fine.
And I'll be I enjoy the American people. I must say this, Dr. Stan, because there is a newness about you all which pleases me. You know, you care enough about most things. I know that you're split up, just as we are, by your politicians, but the basic American's a good guy, just like my country, good people. We've got to do something about these rats who are holding our freedoms to ransom. We've just got to do something.
All right, fine. And so I think that it's, you know, the major thing is to create an awareness of the problem. And, of course, I share with your belief that this could be done if you can reach the people.
If we can reach the people. And that, of course, means a radio station, it means a television station, it means the things that your correspondent was talking about, you know. We've got to set up these waves of communication. Plus, you know, Dr. Stan, it's a sad thing to say, but lawyers themselves are to be bought and sold. If I can put, by dint of my exercise, if I can put the top lawyers in the bottom courts, we will see a new phase of justice begin. We have to use the brains, and unfortunately we've got to pay for it. That's the sadness of our world.
Well, I would think that the lawyers would, at least if they had an ounce of sense, they would realize that when the freedom of the country is lost, why it's the lawyers are the first ones who are up against the wall. In fact, certainly in the communist countries, one of the first things the communists did was execute all the lawyers. So
I went to Tashkent, you know, just a few years back, just after the communist walls had come down, and I saw the place where the Russians, under the instructions of Stalin, had shot 30,000 intellectuals just outside Tashkent. 30,000 people lined up and shot. Those were the thinkers of Uzbekistan. It's going to happen here if we allow it.
I wonder if it was when Pol Pot was in Cambodia. Anybody with a pair of glasses was executed because that meant they could read.
That's right.
And they killed 2 million people as we looked on, ignoring it. We've got about a minute before we have to let you go.
Okay.
What will your parting thought be for our listeners here today?
Well, I've got to say this because I was just saying how much I enjoy America. God bless America and God save the United Kingdom. I think that's going to be my parting thought. Let's get God back on his throne and the Queen back on hers, so far as I'm concerned here.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you know, without the Christian background of our society, we would have, certainly would have, not the freedom that we have. Here in America, we acknowledge our freedom comes from God.
Yeah.
It's too bad that for the politicians don't believe that. The media is doing everything they can to attack and vilify Christianity. But, of course, when Christianity is destroyed in your country and mine, and then freedom as we've known it will simply become a remembrance of things past. Our guest has been Mr. De Crittenden from Great Britain. God bless you, and thank you so much. If anybody would like to get that telephone number, they can call us after the program, and we'll be glad to put you in touch with them. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye, and God bless you.
God bless.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol, 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to mention, if you want to get into the background of the Christian foundation of this country, you need to get the David Barton's excellent book, Original Intent. We have a 4-tape set called The Foundations of Our Freedom. It's 4 1-hour conversations with Dr. James Herson as we go into the Christian foundation of this country, America's God and Country by Bill Federer, I think is must reading for anybody who wants to understand that our founding fathers were Christians, with rare exceptions. They were all Christians. People will tell you this, they were all deists. Well, what I always love to say is, well, other than Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, name me five, name me four, name me three, name me two, and they can't think of them because they really aren't there. And, of course, Thomas Paine was not a founding father at all because he had denied the deity of Jesus Christ, and that is why he was ostracized by the other people there. And of course, he had taken off by the time we got around to writing up our Constitution. Why, he was already over in France trying to drum up a revolution there because he was part of this world revolutionary movement. And if you want to understand the occult foundation of that, we carry a wonderful book written by James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress, entitled Fire in the Minds of Men. Fire in the Minds of Men is must reading to understand the cult foundation behind everything that's going on today and the whole revolutionary movement that began in 1776 and concluded with the establishment of the communist regime in Russia in 1917 and the communist regime in Cuba in 1952. So you need to get that information, and then you need to help us get it out. That's Fire in the Minds of Men. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why you need to. And for those of you who did order the cases of books, why they will be forthcoming in the very near future. And we have them, and we'll be sending them out probably in a week or so. So you can expect to get them. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get my video. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story. It will explain why we're really in Iraq. You're certainly not going to get this through the regular channels, but you need to understand the background. This comes with the syllabus if you want to get it. If you get the video and the syllabus together, it's a decreased cost. But we give you all the documentation on all the wars of the last century. And that will really help you, of course, to really understand indeed what is going on. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you also will want to get our a video entitled None Dare Call It Genocide. I think it's a very important video because it will give you the understanding of the fact that there really are people who want to kill off a large part of the world's population. That is incredible, isn't it? See, they've said exactly what they intend to do, just like Adolf Hitler, who told us what he wanted to do in Mein Kampf. So these people have said the same, exactly what they intend to do. And what you must understand is the spiritual force behind Adolf Hitler. And the spiritual force behind these people who are planning genocide is exactly the same. If you'd like to see pictures of the Georgia Guidestones, why, of course, they're on a video we carry called Megiddo 2, or you can get our Sustainable Development Syllabus and actually see the pictures of the Georgia Guidestones and their message that calls for maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. That means they're going to have to kill off over 90% of the world's population. And people say nobody could be that horrible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you really understand the population control agenda, you will understand there are people who have a different worldview, a different world vision. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Encourage others to listen to our programs. Pull down our programs. Listen to them. Pull down our newsletters and read them and study them and get the information and then help us get the word out. So until tomorrow at the same time, please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.